language that everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And this turns up. That's a pen.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that. He hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX. Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology.
And by BetUS, the original online sports book.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Patrick Creighton.
This is the only live, local, consistent evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. On the John Bay listener line, on the text line, on X Twitter, at PCreighton1. Big Johnny B.
Big Bad John.
On the other side of the glass, at the mass controls, at Third Coast Johnny. On the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975, ESPN975.com, ESPN975 app. Tell Google, tell Alexa, play ESPN975, and, well, take us with you everywhere you go because, well, you know you want to. So today's been an interesting day. My laptop completely bit the dust today. I don't know how or why that happened. I also don't know why it waited until I got into the building for that to happen. Hey, maybe I could grab a different laptop from my house. No, we got the get to the studio in. Hi, Patrick. This is your laptop speaking. I don't plan on working today. Maybe not working again ever. I hope it's not too inconvenient, and I don't care if it is. Have a great show. Double rods. Yeah, that's how it went. Now, I mean, it could have been worse. You know, I could have had a... I could have had one of those days where they decided to block up the exit ramp on Chimney Rock for an hour and 12 minutes because that's happened before.
Oh, that happens multiple times.
I could have had one of those days where they shut down the West Park Tollway 500 feet in front of the exit where they could have just let us all go off. No, they closed the road down and let us sit there for 2 hours. That has happened
before. Well, maybe, I mean, at least you didn't get caught behind a Tesla going 60 in the left lane like you did last time I worked with you.
Yeah, that Tesla wasn't even going 60. It was going more like 45. Maybe the battery was low. Although I do feel like there is a higher percentage of jackwagon drivers to Tesla than there is to any other vehicle brand. I feel like that's not even close. The number of a-hole drivers who drive Teslas versus any other brand, I think just the percentage is extremely high. Like, I would bet the percentage of people driving Teslas that really deserve to just be clubbed over the head like a baby seal with a baseball bat is probably like 65%. I think it's high. Like every time you see somebody that's like, oh, there she goes, there's a jack wagon. Like even more so than number of people driving pickup trucks with like 12-inch lifts where they're trying to make it look like Bigfoot. Even that guy less likely to be a jerk than the person driving the Tesla. I mean, look, maybe he's just practicing. Maybe he wants to take on Gravedigger one day. Maybe in his part of the city, if somebody sneezes, there's 7 inches of water in the road.
Does Gravedigger still exist?
I'm sure it does.
That's a blast from the past, man.
I mean, I was never into like the hardcore monster truck thing. But if you ever went, like, it's kind of cool outside of some of the weirdos that you're going to meet. How cool would it be to actually drive the truck and just run over everything? Do you know how many times I want to do that on I-10? I just want to have a giant truck and drive over everything. Cars, pickups. 4'10" woman in Escalade. Yeah, just drive over everybody. You're in the way. Move or get smushed. I'm all for that. You know, until they until there's a way for me to like use the force or like the one power and just like extend my hand and blow cars out of the way, like totally out of nowhere. Driving a monster truck and crushing everyone, I think that would probably be fun.
I kind of hope that's a metaphor for the Astros in the division going through the rest of this year. Driving a monster truck over everybody.
Well, they definitely drove a monster truck over the Arlington Junk Grabbers yesterday afternoon. That, in fact, happened. That absolutely happened. And it was glorious. Now, I said, every time this team, this entire, quote, golden age of Astros baseball, every time this team gets knocked down, they get up, they dust themselves off, and then they go handle business. And look, they got knocked down this weekend. They played some embarrassingly bad baseball against the South Bronx Slumlords. Embarrassingly bad baseball. And Dusty Baker made some decisions that would probably have someone torn between like a meth addict and a heroin addict questioning their life decisions. What, did Chaz McCormick get 3 at-bats this weekend? And then he got pinch hit for by John Singleton? Are you freaking kidding me? We got to have a come to Jesus moment right now. Dusty Baker, who makes it a point to give the double rods to analytics every chance he gets, because he's an old school manager. He's going to do it his way. You're not going to freaking tell him what to do, right? This is Dusty. This was the hill he died on last year, and actually he survived. James Click died on it last year because he won a title. But you're not going to tell Dusty what to do with his lineup. So what if you trade for Trey Mancini when he first gets here, he hits a home run like every freaking at bat? You're not freaking playing. Oh, did your back go cold because you sat for like, I don't know, 3 weeks in a row? Too bad. Oh, Christian Vasquez, you're a much better hitter than Maldonado. Oh, you're a better defensive player. Sit your ass on the bench. I don't care if my GM traded for you. I don't care what he gave up. It doesn't matter. You're sitting. And then his bat went cold, too, because when guys don't play for long periods of time, particularly guys who are starters their whole lives and all season long, and then all of a sudden, hey, pop a squat. I'll see you in a couple of weeks. I can't imagine why their bat's not going anywhere. But, like, this isn't new for Dusty. But John Singleton? Chaz has been one of the 5 best hitters on the team this entire season. What does he have, the 3rd best OPS on the team? And he plays 1 day out of 3. And in a key spot, he gets pinch hit for by John Singleton. And then after the game, Dusty says, well, you know, our numbers said that John Singleton would have a better expected batting average than Chaz McCormick in this particular instance. And the only thing I think of is, wait a freaking minute. You mean to tell me that the same analytics department that has a veritable cornucopia of information with like 50 data points on why Yiner Diaz should be playing every day, whether it's behind the plate, first base, why Yiner Diaz should be playing every day, and Dusty, nah. That same analytics team that's like 50 data points on why Chaz McCormick should be in the lineup every day, and Dusty's like, nah. But on this day, Dusty decided, hey, we have one single point of data, and damn it, I'm going to use it today. I want you to think about all the manure that lands in Biff Tannen's car. Because that much manure from Back to the Future, John, you saw Back to the Future? Okay, you saw Back to the Future. Biff Tannen chasing down Marty McFly, turns, slams into the manure truck, falls all over him. You remember this? Okay, great. Glad we're on the same page right now. All the manure that fell into that car wouldn't fill 1/1,000th of the amount of manure that Dusty Baker was spewing out his mouth about why he needed to pinch hit John 160 Singleton for Chaz McCormick, who's got an OPS of like 880. The only thing John Singleton has at 880 is like blunt smoked or cheeseburgers eaten. That's the guy you were pinch hitting for? Now think about the number of times Martin Maldonado has been allowed to hit for himself late in games, key spot, and predictably failed. Just think about that. For how many times this year have we said, why are you not pinch hitting for Maldi? And he pinch hit for freaking Chaz. We're the guy who has shown, unfortunately, look, we all wanted the story to be good for John Singleton. We all wanted, okay, here's John Singleton, been out of the organization for, what, 8 years, 9 years. Here he is. He comes back. He finds his swing. And, all right, look, he's going to have a career renaissance. It didn't happen that way. Sports is not always filled with happy endings. John Singleton, unfortunately, has shown you he's a 4A player. And that does, well, this is why we have John Singleton up here. Really? To take strike three? That's why he's up here? It's just a microcosm of this battle that Dusty seems to fight every day. Not going to play Yiner. By the way, Yiner Diaz not in the lineup tonight. Have to rotate guys around. Can't always play Chaz McCormick because, you know, they're some kind of back. Chaz is their best hitter in center field. It's not close. And if you want to talk defense, maybe Jake Myers is the best defensive player, but Chaz ain't a whole lot worse. Chaz is like a dog hair behind him. How many times have we seen Chaz make big plays? Did Chaz not make the World Series catch of the last 50 years a year ago? Or was that a figment of my imagination? I didn't actually see that. Didn't happen. I love Dusty Baker. I have so much respect for his career as a player. He's a terrific player. He started his career at 19 years old. Terrific player. He has been a successful manager everywhere he's gone. And he has handled some serious egos. And last year, he really went head-to-head with James Click over how they were going to run this team because Dusty does not want to hear one single lick of information from the front office. And in today's baseball world, the manager is not completely autonomous. In today's baseball world, it is a partnership. That's what Luno and A.J. Hinch had. They had a partnership. It is not the old school, like, say, 1986 Mets, Frank Cashin builds the roster, Davey Johnson manages it, and I'll talk to you in 3 months. Like, that's not how it works anymore. But, man, there is no way to look at the decisions that Dusty makes and say he is not deliberately trying to flip off the analytics department, that he is not deliberately trying to flip off his general manager, who's brand new and has a nice long contract. He's not going anywhere. And we've already heard Dana say, well, you know, we thought we'd get Yiner more at-bats. He wouldn't have, you know, 70 at-bats after, I don't know, 2.5 months. And that was the whole reason why Salazar was on the team. So we know Dusty and Dana do not see eye to eye. And if this is how it's going to continue to be, where, you know, Yiner Diaz should be Rookie of the Year. If he could get enough at-bats, and, you know, fill up the stats the way that he does when he gets the at-bats. There's a tweet out today from, I think it was Fox. He's not even in the list. There's five Rookie of the Year candidates. He's not even on it. Part of that is orange team bad. And part of that is, well, he's got less than 400 at-bats. That's insane. Why does Chaz McCormick have less than 400 at-bats? It's got to be the last year for Dusty. I didn't want to say that. I wanted Dusty back this year. I wanted Dusty to win a title last year. I wanted him to come back this year. Everything he has done this year says the game has passed him by. He's cost this team no fewer than a half dozen games. And that was probably all in May with Rafael Montero. That doesn't even count. Oh, yeah, you know what? Eighth inning, I'm going to let Moldy hit. Oh, it didn't work out? No, son of a B. Next time, I'm going to let Moldy hit. It didn't work out? Son of a B. Next time. And it's not to say he hasn't done anything good, because even though it took him way too freaking long to figure out, oh, Montero doesn't have command this year, maybe we need to get him down to lower leverage situations and kind of rebuild him. And he did. It just took him 2.5 months too long to figure that out. And now Montero is pitching much better. He's gotten his issues figured out. But he's also beaten the hell out of this bullpen. To the point where, I mean, I don't even know if we're going to ever see, I don't know if we're going to see Maton pitch well the rest of the year. Because he burnt him out so bad in the first half. But when two of the best hitters on your team are constantly not in the lineup for, quote, reasons that only exist in the manager's head, maybe it's time for that manager to go. Do you think this should be Dusty's last season? Win, lose, whatever. Should this be Dusty's last season in Houston? 713-780-3776. Late hits.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. All systems go.
Houston is all systems go.
Infield still in on Yiner. Yiner hits one high. Hits one deep. He hits one out. Six runs, seventh inning. It's 11-5.
Late night Houston sports talk only happens here. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology.
And by BetUS, the original online sports book.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Now, how much did it warm your heart to hear the fans screaming like they were at Minute Maid? Home run after home run after home run, including that one, the Grand Salami from Yiner Diaz. 453 feet. That was not a cheapie, by the way. 453 feet. That was an absolute freaking tank by Yiner Diaz, who's not in the lineup, by the way, tonight. And look, I understand the, well, you know, Fromber's pitching, therefore, you know, Moldy must absolutely catch. And I get the whole, you know, team-pushed narrative of, listen, Moldy doesn't hit and Moldy doesn't field, so we got to say whatever to back Maldonado. I got that part. But if we're going to be fair to Maldonado, you know what? He's okay at the plate against lefties. He's okay against lefties. And you could play him against lefties. But he should never start against right-handed pitching. And his OPS against right-handed pitching is like under 400. His OPS. That's, dude, just stand there and don't even swing. Because that's how bad it is. Don't even swing. Don't even try. It's okay. Whereas Yiner just mashes right-handed pitching. And it's different if we're talking about, well, you know, the Astros pitching is so damn good that, you know, we're going to give the pitchers, you know, allegedly whatever they want. We're going to put out the best possible defensive lineup. And if we don't score that many runs, it's okay. The pitching's not that this year. Their pitching is not holy cow better than everybody else's. It's just not. They need to score runs. And they score more runs when Yiner Diaz is in the lineup. That's just a statistical fact. And as much as allegedly Framber Valdez, oh, well, you know, I really want to pitch to Martin Maldonado. If you ask Framber Valdez, would you rather pitch to Martin Maldonado or would you rather have 7 runs of support tonight? He's going to take 7 runs. Because it doesn't matter if it's, you know, Cesar Salazar behind the plate. If he has 7 runs of support, Framber believes he's going to win. If you ask Justin Verlander, do you want to pitch to Maldonado or do you want 7 runs of support? Justin Verlander, I want 7 runs of support because I'm going to win. And you know what guys like more than playing with whomever it is they allegedly want to play with? They like winning. But again, there's a lefty on the mound, and you want to put Martin Maldonado behind the plate because, well, he's hit fairly well against lefties this year. Okay, you could use it as a almost like a platoon. Play Maldi against lefties and Yiner against righties, and it'd be a really good idea to introduce Yiner to Framber and Javier and Verlander because, oh my God, what if he actually has to catch them in a postseason game? What if Martin Maldonado... And I'm not trying to wish this on him, but what if something happened to Maldonado and here, let's make it the easy way. What if Maldonado came down with the flu and he had to miss 3 days? And those three days were 2 games in the LCS with Verlander and Framber on the hill. Are we just not going to pitch Verlander and Framber because Maldi's not available? No, those guys are going to have to pitch to Yiner Diaz, and they're going to have to figure it out. And I'm quite sure they'll have no problem figuring it out. But there's also no reason why that introduction can't get made now. It's just silly. All right, and I get Martin Maldonado is a leader on this team. Yes, he is a leader on this team, and I have no problem with that. You expect your veterans to be leaders. And your leaders don't have to be the best player on the team. A lot of times, the leader is not the best player on the team. But the leader also doesn't have to be a starter. You know, again, I'm from New York, so I can tell you all about the early 80s Mets, where Rusty Staub, in his early 40s, was a leader on that team of all the young Mets, 84, 85, and he didn't even get 100 at-bats. Rusty Staub was a pinch hitter. He was a leader on that team. Highly respected player. John Franco was the captain of the Mets in the 90s and in 2000, and he was a reliever. Not even on the field, he's a reliever, he's in the bullpen. You don't have to be the star or a starter because you're a leader. If you're a leader, you just lead. Doesn't matter what your role is. All right, we're going to talk some college football coming up next with my buddy Mark Ryan from The Fan upstate in South Carolina. But first, got to tell you about my friends at BetUS.com. Look, BetUS.com has become my new favorite sports book and casino. It's time to get in with football. Football starts on Thursday. That is 2 days. We are 2 sleeps from NFL football. For real. Not that fake preseason stuff. For real. And now, BetUS.com the only sports book that I endorse, celebrating their 30th year of sports betting service with up to 30 risk-free bets. 30 bets, you risk nada. It's called Bet Protect. And if that's not enough, BetUS also has the industry's biggest sign-up bonus, 125%. 125% sign-up bonus, biggest in the industry. And if you need more than that, maybe you sign up with crypto. Because if you sign up with crypto, you'll get a 200% bonus. That's a massive, massive bump. 200% bonus for signing up with crypto. Sign up with the casino, it's 250. Man, they're giving you free money. They're basically telling you, here is free money. Go win. Game's always a little bit more exciting when you have a little money on it. You know what? You can take it to another level because at BetUS, you don't have to just bet the beginning. You can bet all game long with their live in-game betting. So don't wait. Take advantage of this 30th anniversary offer. Up to 30 risk-free bets with Bet Protect. Get started today. BetUS.com or call them 1-800-MY-BETUS. 1-800-MY-BETUS. Learn about all the bonuses, all the special offers. 1-800-MY-BETUS. BetUS.com. Sportsbook and casino where the game begins.
ESPN 97.5. God listens to us too. Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology.
And by BetUS, the original online sports book.
Man, my guess at this time, we go back 11 years. 11 years he and I were hosting a morning show together in Atlanta. Spent a little bit of time here in Houston. Now he hosts the Afternoon Drive. He's the APD for the Fan upstate, heart of Clemson country. It's my good friend Mark Ryan. What's going on, brother? How are you?
PC, what is good, my brother? Listen to all those sponsors. No doubt in my mind you would rise to the sky, my friend. Great to be on with you.
Always appreciate your time, my friend. Listen, you are right in the heart of Clemson country. Clemson has been one of the best football programs in college football for close to a decade. But they took an unexpected L this weekend. And I know a lot was made about it. And some people were talking about how they just got absolutely destroyed. And they actually outgained Duke, but had some critical turnovers, missed field goal. What happened to Clemson this weekend? And is this an anomaly, or is this maybe kind of what they're going to be this year?
Patrick, I'll tell you what, the folks over in this way in the upstate of South Carolina would have to get better to die. So we'll start there right now, okay? Patrick, unfortunately, I don't think it's an anomaly. I do think this team has a lot of talent, but I think their quarterback, Cade Klubnik, is so green. And they've got a brand new offensive coordinator right now, a brand new offensive coordinator where they need to learn the system, and they're not there yet, brother. They're not there. Then when you compound that with three different fumbles inside the 10-yard line, Patrick, who's going to win? It was like a bad nightmare. Patrick, it was so unrealistic that if a movie was like this, you would tell the director to rewrite the script. It's just not believable.
Now, Mark, I heard Kirk Herbstreit say something that when I first heard it, I had to replay it to make sure that I heard it correctly. Because regardless of how you feel about Dabo Swinney and the way that he recruits and the way that he talks, etc., Dabo Swinney has been an incredibly successful head coach, and is basically that entire program is Dabo. Kirk Herbstreit basically said Dabo's on the hot seat, and that seat is getting hotter. When I heard that, my head kind of spun around like, wait, that guy's on the hot seat? Doesn't he make like $10 million a year and is signed for like a zillion years and has made the program what it is? Is that Kirk being a little hyperbolic, or is there any truth to the idea that Dabo Swinney is actually feeling some heat right now?
Patrick, it's a great question, brother. I like to look at it this way. There's a difference between being on the hot seat and being under pressure. To me, for Dabo to lose his job, he'd have to have three consecutive losing seasons. He hasn't had one, right? I mean, when you've won two national championships in the three total of that program's history, you write your own ticket, right? But he is under pressure, and the natives are getting restless, and they're growing really tired and weary of him digging his heels in and refusing to get with the program in today's college football. He doesn't want to pay players. He doesn't want to take part in the transfer portal. He says, for me to dip in the transfer portal is an insult to the guys I have. Mike Norvell at Florida State says, I'll be insulted that way. I'll insult my program that way. And it sets up right now, Patrick, to have two different methodologies meeting together in Clemson September 23rd, where Mike Norvell, who has mastered the transfer portal at Florida State, has added superstars at every position. Cash payments, who knows, but it's pseudo-legal now anyway, right? So who can really say anything about it? They add Cam Coleman. They add Jaheim Bell. They add Jaheim Bell via the transfer portal. They added a Western Michigan defensive tackle that is plugging the holes that have always existed there in the middle. So Dabo's doing none of that. Mike Norvell is doing all of that. And this dissent, Patrick, is going to reach a fever pitch if Florida State comes to Clemson and absolutely puts him in a body bag like they did in 2013.
Talk with Mark Ryan, afternoon drive host of The Fan Upstate. That is the heart of Clemson country. And just listen, I know Mark 11 years. The whole reason I even got into college football was because I started hosting with Mark Ryan. This guy lives and breathes college football like nobody else I've ever met. And I do feel like my life is a little bit better since I've gotten much more into college football. Because the truth of the matter is, you know, in Brooklyn, there's no college football to talk about. There's no college football. Everything is about the Jets, the Giants. But once you got down here into the South, then college football is a way of life. And I am very appreciative of you introducing that to me 11 years ago. Now, Mark, let me ask you, last year, DJ Uiagalelei, he took a lot of heat for not playing well, Clemson's offense not working the way that they thought it was going to. He goes out and has a terrific game for Oregon State. Now, granted, against San Jose State, not against upper tier Pac-2, whatever you want to call it, competition. Do you think that looking back, you know, they got rid of the offensive coordinator, was DJ a big part of the problem last year, or do you think that he will have a much better season playing for Oregon State this year?
Patrick, I'll answer that this way. If you look at the quarterback ratings, right, of Clemson's medal stand quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson at Clemson had a 156. Taj Boyd at Clemson had a 151. Trevor Lawrence had a 160. DJ Uiagalelei had a 119. You tell me what it is, man. One of the 2 years for DJ, his worst of the two seasons, he had the same coordinator that Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence did. I don't think the system last year under now fired coordinator Brandon Streeter helped him at all. They didn't use the middle of the field. But he's a big guy, Patrick, who plays a little bit scared of being hit. He's got happy feet. He tends to make bad decisions. Can a quarterback whisperer get a good season out of him? I think so. But, Patrick, if you're New York Giants or Houston Texans ever selected him, I'd feel sorry for you.
Yeah, I think I would, too. Now, this to me, this was the biggest story of the college football weekend. Colorado was 1-11 last year. They hired Deion Sanders to be the head coach. He turns over basically the entire roster, including over 50 guys from the transfer portal. They were 21-point dogs going into Saturday at TCU, right? They had a play on the road, and they put up 45 points in a victory, and Shedeur Sanders throws for 500 and 10 yards. How good are the Buffs?
Let me tell you, man, who knows, Patrick? I made a major mistake evaluating Florida State. I thought LSU was going to run them. Why? Because Florida State last year, Patrick, was good, not great. Now, I know you asked me about the Buffaloes, but here's why I can't answer either one. It is so hard to predict and prognosticate in the transfer portal era because you have no idea how these players are going to be utilized, used, featured. Deion Sanders is coaching out of his mind right now, Patrick. He's got the most oddball roster in college football history. Let me explain it to you. We've heard about the middle class of the United States of America getting squeezed. It's already done in Colorado. That roster, Patrick, has zero middle class. They've got about 24 and 5 stars and about 50 U's and me's, and they're winning with that. And so Coach Prime has learned, okay, I got two or three guys that are going to make plays. They're the only ones who are touching the ball, and they have zero depth to speak of. And somehow, some way, through sheer brilliance, his son, never having played a game before at the FBS level, goes out and sets the school record. Patrick, Shedeur Sanders was a 3-star, okay? That means, like, the Akrons of the world wanted him and the Coastal Carolinas of the world wanted him, but the Clemsons of the world did not. Their over-under win total was 3.5 games. They lost 73 players from their roster last season. They just beat the program that played in the national championship game as a 21-point underdog. Patrick, if there's a better college football achievement in the modern era, I'd love someone to show me.
That game was, I mean, I was glued to that game. And you know me, I will pop in for a quarter here and a quarter there. I was glued to that game for how well Colorado was moving the football. TCU, as you said, they played for a title last year. And TCU was supposed to run them. They were supposed to roll them out of the building. And that game was a tight, fun game to watch. Let me ask you, you mentioned Florida State earlier and how Florida State has utilized the transfer portal. And here they are now as a top 5 ranked team after taking down LSU. Your thoughts on that game? What do you think about the Seminoles and the Tigers?
Patrick, this pains me, my brother. This pains me for the same reason that it pains you to say anything nice about the Yankees. Okay? but the reality is, man, every single hole that they had, they plugged. And not only did they plug, they got some of the best players in the country. Okay, Coleman to go with Johnny Wilson, who's a 6'5 wide receiver. Jordan Travis is a viable Heisman Trophy contender. Oh, did I mention, Patrick, they have the best two-headed monster at the running back position in the entire NCAA, including their starter, who, get this, Patrick, averages 4 yards a carry after contact. Okay? It's just absurd. You couple that with the fact that their defense has gotten a lot better, and I'll tell you, Patrick, what they're challenging to do. Okay? Not a single program has ever won a national championship in the modern era that is sub 50% in the blue chip ratio. Now, for your audience, what does that mean? You got to be 50% or better in the blue chip ratio, which means half of your roster or more were 4 or 5-star players coming out of high school. Now, Florida State's roster right now is at 38%. It's not close. That would eliminate them, right? Aha! Except for the fact that they went into the transfer portal and they got 4 and 5-star players at all of these positions of need, all to make one great run at a national championship this year. Patrick, they've scored 35 points or more in 7 straight games. That leads the nation. I don't know how you stop them at the college level. I don't know how the Cleveland Browns stop them at the college level.
That's, now look, you can say whatever you want about the Browns' offense. Their defense is legit. That's some pretty high praise for an offense that they're getting that kind of run. All right. He's Mark Ryan. And listen, for those of you who are wondering why it hurts him to say nice things about Florida State, Mark's a Gator. Mark is a very proud Gator.
Mark, I feel like I'm blasphemous. I feel like, Patrick, just go ahead and take my fan card away from me. I should never be saying these niceties.
I mean, right now, going to a Gators game, he might want to wear a bag on his head, but that's not because of anything he did wrong. Well, very much what the program is doing wrong. We won't harp on you about the Gators this week. We will save that for another week.
But, man, I really appreciate you taking a little bit of time to talk some college football with us. He is Mark Ryan with The Fan, Upstate South Carolina. It's Clemson country. Follow him on Twitter, at Mark Ryan on air. Brother, I really appreciate your time. Congratulations again on all your success. For those of you who don't know, Mark, not only a local host, but now is also a national host on a network that I can't talk about. So appreciate you, my friend, and we will talk soon.
Congratulations on all your success, brother. I am super proud of you. Talk soon, my friend.
All right, Mark Ryan, Fan Upstate, Clemson country, with us here on Late Hits, ESPN 97.5.
You found ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I can feel it.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums, getting all swollen with a light blue hue to them, fresh and juicy, ready for the picking.
Late Night Houston Sports Talk only happens here. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical Rx, Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology.
And by BetUS, the original online sports book.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Appreciate my buddy Mark Ryan popping on with us, talking some college football with us. Man, Mark is such a diehard SEC guy. You know, when he and I were working in Atlanta, my first time working outside of New York, and I had to understand how sports worked in Atlanta. It's Georgia football 1, Alabama football 2, SEC football 3, Mountain Range, Falcons, Mountain Range, Braves, Grand Canyon, another Grand Canyon, the Moon, Hawks. Like, nobody gives a flying rat's tail about the Hawks. It's kind of sad. But Georgia football is way bigger than Falcons football.
I'm surprised by that.
It is SEC country. It is the holy grail of SEC country. And look, you got to learn. You got to change your style. We're not talking NFL and Major League Baseball in Atlanta for 4 hours, because we're talking SEC for at least three of those 4 hours. It's a different animal. Same as here. Like, we're going to talk some college football on the show. We are going to talk college football this year. We're also going to talk a lot of Texans, and we're going to talk a lot of Astros as the season goes on. And I hope that the Rockets are going to give us reason to talk a lot about them. I hope that that's going to happen. I don't want another year of the Rockets winning like 28 games. I'm out on that. I am out on, you know, embrace the suck per se. I don't want to embrace the suck. I want to embrace my team showing that they are starting to move up the ladder, that they're going in the right direction, that they're showing progress. And you know what? Yeah, I thought the Texans probably win 7 games this year. I don't know if I still feel that. And that's because of the injuries. You know, a week and a half before the season, you lose your starting left guard and your starting center with a rookie quarterback. That's not good. I mean, think about this. CJ Stroud is already on his third center, and they haven't played a game yet. He's on his third center. Quest is out for the year. Scruggs is out at least 3 weeks. You know, who's playing center? Jimmy Morrissey? Kendrick Green? I don't think we even know yet. And they play on Sunday against a team that historically has one of the best defenses, and especially most like power at like the nose tackle position. Interior defensive line. They have had beasts at the interior defensive line seemingly forever, and that is where your line is going to be weakest. That's worrisome.
right? Wasn't the whole purpose of what the Texans did this year bolstering the offensive line because they wanted to give Stroud the most opportunity to be successful? Hey, we want to be able to have a good running game. We need a good offensive line for that. We want CJ to be successful. We got to protect him. We need a good offensive line for that. And, well, look, they're going to have, like, Laremy Tunsil's a terrific player. And Shaq Mason's a terrific player. I don't know if Tytus Howard's going to play week one because his hand's still in a cast. But when Tytus Howard is healthy, he's a terrific player. When you have three really good players like that, you usually feel pretty good about your offensive line. Center and left guard, both of those are going to be guys who are going to be brand new to the quarterback a week and a half before the season starts. That worries the hell out of me, especially against a team like the Baltimore Ravens. You know they're going to find a way to wedge everybody they can right in between those two guys. You know, I mean, are we going to see a lot of rollouts to the right side? I mean, you know, are we going to have, you know, tight ends lined up as H-backs coming in to chip and act like offensive linemen and fill that hole? How the Texans address that is probably going to be the biggest determining factor in whether they are competitive this week or not. I don't think anybody expected the Texans to go to Baltimore and win. But you do want to see them go to Baltimore and compete. Now, I want to see the Texans go to Baltimore and make it a game. I want to see them fight to the end. I want it to be close. I do not want to see them down 25 in the third quarter. I do not want to see a game where they've got 3 points through three quarters because C.J. Stroud has been sacked 7 times. And they can't run the football because at center and left guard, they're a sieve. Because you got 3 offensive linemen and 2 parked cars, and those are not Cadillacs. Those are Yugos. Johnny, you know what a Yugo is, right?
I do not.
You don't know what a Yugo is?
I have no clue.
It is literally the worst production car of all time. It is.
Did you have one? Is that why against it?
Oh, no. The Yugo is world-renowned for how pathetic of a vehicle it was. If you looked at it, it broke down. And nothing on this car worked. This was the ultimate lemon. The whole damn product line was a lemon.
You don't think there was one every once in a while that made it through?
You could buy the car brand new for $39.95. And this is early 90s.
Wow.
You buy it brand new,
$39.95.
$39?
No, idiot. Oh,
okay. Yeah, you buy a car for $39.
Well, you said it was that bad. I get you.
And they would just fall apart. Electrical problems, engine problems, drivetrain problems. You know, tire just falls off and there it goes down the street. I mean, literally everything that could go wrong. You go to, like, move the seat back and it completely falls out of the track. And I mean, these cars were such garbage. And if you go into your Google, your search engine, and you look up Yugo, you're going to see some stuff. You are going to see some stuff. But yeah, that's basically what the Texans might wind up having at left guard and center. We don't know. You know, it's not even like you say, all right, well, you know, every team should have the backups. Well, the backups are hurt. You're on to, like, the backups. And, you know, this is one of the things about any team that is in the process of rebuilding, it's in the process of moving forward, is that you might have some good players, like, in your starting unit, but your depth is not so great. And the depth on their offensive line is past being tested. I mean, they're just getting clobbered. And that does it. It worries the hell out of me. We hope the defense is going to be a lot better. Sheldon Rankins, Denzel Perryman, Jimmy Ward. Like, they made some very notable improvements on the defensive side. We hope that is going to move forward. They don't have, quote, a number one receiver, but they've got a lot of pretty good receivers, and you're looking for Nico Collins to take a step forward. Stay on the field, please. You're looking for Nico Collins to take a step forward. And, you know, you're hoping that Robert Woods' regression last year was more caused by the fact that Malik Willis could not complete a pass than that Robert Woods has, you know, taken 3 steps backwards. I'm still mostly optimistic the Texans are going to be a much better team than they were a year ago. But with the line injuries, if the over-under is still at 6.5, I'd probably say under. I'd probably feel more 6 wins than 7 because I don't know how long these line injuries are going to last. And all these guys, I mean, they just picked up like 3 new linemen. Those guys haven't played with the Texans for 2 weeks. The one place on a football field where you need 5 guys to work in cohesion at all times. You're asking a lot that you're putting this line together not even 2 weeks before the season. At 2 key interior spots that were major problems for you a year ago. So, yeah, I think that having the line issues they do might cost them a win. All right, before we hit the break here, let me tell you about my man, Dr. Ben Saleto, Texas Science and Snoring. You know, it's been 4 years since I've seen Dr. Ben. 4 years. And I went to go see him like completely on a whim because people kept telling me how great he was. But I was pretty much convinced after seeing more than a half dozen doctors in 2 different states that my sinus issues were not something that could be treated. I was just going to live with them my whole life. Dr. Ben's the only one that wanted to find out the root cause of my problems. And after talking to him for about a half hour or so, he says, you know what? I want to get a CT scan on your head. Let's find out what's going on there. I didn't have to go see another doctor or go to another place. Went 3 doors down, made a left, took 5 minutes. That's it, 5 minutes. 10 minutes later, he's got the results up on the board. It turned out I had staph infection in my sinuses. So all these years of, oh, here's a CPAC, here's a CPAC, here's a CPAC, that did nothing. All they did was just cycle me up and down, stronger, weaker. They never actually took care of the problem. They had to surgically remove that staph infection. All those years of infection, 20 years of infection, had my sinuses so janked up with dead and damaged tissue. It was almost completely closed. Like, my wife used to think that I was snoring while I was wide awake because my airs were completely blocked. They did a balloon sinuplasty, opened all that right up. Man, I could tell as soon as I came out of the procedure, I could already tell I could breathe better. They did a septoplasty. It turned out I had a deviated septum. I didn't even know I had a deviated septum. Well, I don't anymore. And it's all thanks to Dr. Ben Saleto. If you have sinus issues, snoring issues, sleep apnea, you don't have to live that way. All you need to do is take down this number, 346-413-9313. 346-413-9313. Go to TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. Schedule your consultation with Dr. Ben Saleto. Let him do for you what he's done for me, what he's done for dozens of other late hitters, what he's done for thousands of people around the greater Houston area. Let him help you break the cycle and breathe.
ESPN 97.5.com. Take his pork chop.
I don't want his pork chop. I want his life.